Hello, hello. This is Daniel Gregory. Welcome to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host. I hope you are doing well and having a great week. I wanted to talk this week about noise in photography. It's one of the topics that comes up that people ask me about a lot is noise reduction. For those of you who work in film, noise is analogous to way too much grain in your photograph where it's distracting. For those of you who work digitally, you know all too well about the perils of too much noise in a photograph. That chunky, blotchy stuff that really distracts the way we see a photograph. It causes a blending of color, and really it doesn't have quite the aesthetic we'd be hoping for in a lot of our photographs, and so we spend a lot of time in noise reduction land. We might use software like Photoshop or Lightroom. We might use a third-party plugin like Noiseware or something like that to help reduce the noise in our image. We want to make that image look as good as it can, and we know that when somebody looks at that print, particularly when we enlarge that print, or somebody looks really close at the photograph, they're going to see the effect of that blotchiness that the noise creates. The reason for the noise, and for the sake of this podcast, is pretty immaterial. And as a matter of fact, noise in your photograph for the sake of this podcast is actually pretty immaterial. What I'm talking about is the noise that exists when we're taking the photograph and when we're looking at photographs. All the things that are in your head that prove to be a distraction. The things in your head that make you unaware of how you're responding to the photograph because there's so much happening, there's so much going on, there's so much buzzing between your ears that you can't really focus to spend the time necessary to truly make the photograph you want or to really appreciate the photograph you're looking at. In my family, there was an old adage, probably in a lot of families, but silence is golden. And usually what that meant was, we were talking too much, and the other person wanted us to be quiet. The adage, however, I think is applicable to a lot of what happens to us in photography when we're dealing with noise. We need the silence. We need it to actually be quiet. We need it to rest so that we can be aware of what's going on around us. We can be aware of the attunement necessary to make amazing photographs. Miles Davis used to say that jazz was the music that happened between the notes. It was in the silent space where the emotional response happened, when the brain and the spirit and the soul were able to converge into their own meaning and understanding when they weren't distracted by the music. I think that's a really applicable quote and an applicable idea when we talk about the photography and this notion of silence is golden. We want to get to a state of things being silent so that we can appreciate what's happening. I think part of the problem with so much noise for a lot of us is that we have so much information we're expected to retain into our heads in order to be a good photographer or a professional photographer. So many times people pick up a camera and for the joy of it, they start shooting, they make some beautiful photographs, they have an eye, they see some interesting things, and then they start worrying about making good photographs. And all of a sudden, do I have the right aperture? Do I have the right shutter speed? Do I have the right ISO? Do I have the right focal length? Do I have too much compression in the lens? How does the flash affect that? All this information starts to go into the head and it starts to spin around and it starts to tumble in there and it becomes a distraction. It becomes the noise of your photograph. And even if you're shooting at a low ISO, it's the noise in your photograph because you can't get past all of that buzzing about decisions and options and features and things you need to be doing. You start to worry about whether you need a new camera. Did you remember the bug spray? All of that stuff happens up there and creates this very loud, annoying element to your photography. So part of our goal is to help reduce those choices. It's to help us get back to the most basic understanding of what makes a photograph work. And that's why so many seasoned, experienced photographers will tell you that learning your equipment, learning your gear, knowing what all your buttons do, knowing where things are on your camera, and making that second nature through practice is so important. Because if you don't have to think about it anymore, it's no longer noise. It literally is removed to the background and it falls back into the silence so you can focus on just you and the subject and subject matter. And that's an element that I think a lot of us as we get going forget is that it's in that ability to relate to the subject and the subject matter that defines the photograph. Anything else outside of that is the distraction, it is the noise within our head. The other thing that noise does is it acts as an interruption. And so one of the things is your day starts to get chaotic and you start to think about all of the things you need to get done. Your world is a series of interruptions. Even if you've got a day where you get up and you're going to do something and you have the whole day dedicated towards just a you day. You're going to just take the day for you. Little interruptions come into play. Your phone rings. You get a text message. You remember, oh, yeah, I was supposed to pick that up at the dry cleaning, so I have clothes for work tomorrow. And your own day of serenity, your own day of calmness, your own day of silence is interrupted all the time by little things that come up that you have to respond to. And your photography is the same way. When you're out shooting, there's all sorts of little variables that come into play. There's all sorts of little things that come into play that you have to watch for, and you have to think to yourself, wow, how does this impact my photography? How does this impact the photograph? How am I responding to this unanticipated interruption? For some people, those interruptions become really significant and they derail a project. For other people, they're able to let some of those interruptions go. And I think that's the key thing to focus on as we work on aspects of our ability to deal with that noise, is that an interruption either needs to be avoided entirely, where we set ourselves up in a little bubble, or we turn our phones off. We make sure we can't be interrupted by technology, or we put ourselves physically in a place where we can't be interrupted. Or we have to learn how to let those interruptions just kind of wash over us and not break our creative process and not allow us to be pulled in a direction that we hadn't anticipated. So that when we stay in our creative practice, even if we're momentarily pulled out, when we come back to it, we're able to re-engage in a quick manner and in an easy manner back into the work. That requires a huge mental lift, because it is so easy to get emotionally attached and emotionally drained and emotionally zapped by some of the things that come up for us during those interruptions. Because so many things in our life are important. But having the time dedicated to our photography, to where we can be really engaged with the photography to get what we're looking for, happens when we can remove those interruptions and distractions. Something else around noise is some research that's been kind of redone over and over again. It comes out of organizational theory, and while I'm not a huge fan of the research I did earlier in my career when I looked at a lot of organizational communications, because I'm not a huge fan of large-scale organizational systems anymore, but that is a topic for a different day. But Herbert Simon did some research on how people make decisions. And there's 1,000 ways we make decisions, but two of the ones that Herbert Simon talked about were satisficing and maximizing. Maximizing is you want to make sure you're always making the best decision possible. So given a set of criteria where you need a pencil that is 6 inches long, 2 inches wide, with number 2 lead and half of an eraser, in a sea of 1,000 pencils, you will search until you find that exact pencil. Satisficing says that when given a slew of options, what we're really about is making the decision that allows us to move forward as quickly as possible in a satisfactory way. So you may not find that exact pencil, but you'll find something close enough to let you do the work. Other examples are needles in haystacks. People talk about finding the perfect airline ticket. So there's a lot of different ways to go about thinking about how we approach this work. The interesting thing about the decision-making research that came out at this time, and in the organizational research such as what Simon did, is that there are genetic traits that they believe impact how we make our decisions. And that it's, you know, that question of nurture versus nature, it's a combination of both in how we go about making decisions. And that one of the challenges in dealing with noise is we want to make sure that we recognize our own decision-making patterns and that we don't fall into a negative trap in how those decisions are made. So a decision-making process isn't better or worse. Given the context, there may be a faster and easier way to make a decision or to accept a decision, but every decision-making process has its own reward and has its own cost. And one of the things that I think happens in photography with the amount of noise in our heads is the inability of ourselves to trust our own decision-making process. So no matter what philosophical or research bias you stand on, like I said, whether it's Simon's, as the two examples I gave, or if you look at Maslow's hierarchy, you look at all these different ways that people have tried to ascribe how we make decisions. At the end of the day, most of our real work, most of the most connected work, is when we are true to who we are as artists and who we are as individuals. And in my own experience, what I have found is that the noise that exists in my head disappears when I trust myself, when I accept that I am able to make the images I want, create the images I want, and express what I want to say through those images. And even though I might be in a place not photographing the traditional stuff, I may not be photographing the right way, I may not be using the right lens for the job, if I can trust my own intuition, if I can trust my own way of being and responding, I will end up with a better photograph. Because most of that noise, most of the things that spiral in my head and the things that I hear from other people when they're stuck photographically or stuck creatively is that they're not trusting their own decision-making process, their own beliefs. They're not willing to take that risk on themselves that what they're thinking, experiencing, and doing is correct. The noise is there as the distraction. It is the thing that prevents us from seeing the photograph. What we have to learn how to do is know that we know the photograph and trust that our own abilities are, no matter how good we are, no matter where we are at a skill level or a developmental level or at an artistic level, we are able to create the most amazing things possible when we allow ourselves to create the most amazing things possible. So at the foundation, what an artist has to do is trust that they are, in fact, good enough to create everything they were meant to be. Everything that they were meant to create and everything that they were meant to express. The idea that we don't have within us the ability to make the correct decision is something that is fundamentally not true. We will make decisions. We will make millions and thousands of choices. Every one of those will be inputs into the next decisions we make and into the next set of art we create. And while we may not always get the art we want or the photograph we want, when we learn to trust who we are and eliminate all of the distractions of all the possible ways to make decisions, all the possible concepts, and know that at our core, who we are is what matters, I think we can eliminate a lot of the noise in our own head that happens when we put the camera up in front of our eye. For this week, I would encourage you to spend some time thinking about what creates noise inside your head and finding a way to implement that silence is golden rule. Also, I think you should celebrate however you make decisions. And even if you make them slow or fast, or you need a lot of information or you're less information, embrace who you are in making how you make decisions and in making those decisions so that you're not faced with the internal critic and criticism of yourself and how you make decisions. Trust who you are. Trust your own intuition to allow you to make amazing photographs and to make amazing decisions behind the camera. I hope you have a great week. I hope you spend an amazing amount of time in a stress-free, noise-free environment. And also, if you really struggle with distractions, maybe find something that helps soothe that distraction. Maybe there's a certain type of music. Maybe there's a way to put headphones on without music. Find a way to eliminate distractions, even in a small way, and give yourself just 5 minutes of respite during the day where you can experience just a noise-free environment. See what that does to your own creativity. I think you'll find it'll be amazing. And if you feel like listening to a lot more noise, don't forget you can find all of our podcasts and all of my podcasts up on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the places podcasts are found, and you can take a listen there. And if you love the podcast, give it a rating. That helps other people find the podcast, and I really do appreciate you listening. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.